Podcast.
Past Futures Podcast, produced by Islanders, made possible by the National Lottery Heritage Fund, a people's history of the Isle of Wight.
An event 55 years ago, something that was termed the last great event. Now, I've got to thank Ray Falk here. It was his definitive work and info and anecdotes on the 1970 festival are absolutely brilliant. If you get the opportunity to buy the book, you need to do it. Okay, so where are we? 55 years ago, following two previous festivals in 68 at Godshill and 69 at Wootton Bridge, the Falk brothers, Ron, Ray and Bill, set about an even larger festival for August Bank Holiday 1970. At that time, their company, Fiery Creations, was the leading authority on open air festivals. And the plan was to out Woodstock, last year's Woodstock Festival, in terms of musical lineup and in the event, it was actually the size of the audience as well. So they set out to out Woodstock, and they achieved it. But they faced a seemingly insurmountable resistance, not least from the Isle of Wight MP at the time, Mark Woodnutt, and the columns of the Isle of Wight County Press via readers' letters and editorial comment, and also the local authorities. Everybody had been shocked by the first two festivals, and there was a lot of resistance for the third. The previous festivals had taken the opposition by surprise, but now they had a year to mount their resistance against the festival, Boy, did they do just that. Fiery Creations visited New York to meet with Burt Block to conclude a deal for him to again be the North American representative and engage the American bands. Burt Block was very enthusiastic and considered the previous year's festival at Wootton to have been a model of good organisation run by reliable promoters. In mid-December, disturbing news broke of a stabbing and four dead at the Altamont Free Concert near San Francisco. So that really added to the negativity. The Falk brothers hoped to sign up the Beatles this year. That was their intention. They wanted a top band. But the Fab Four were not so fab by 1970. They were splitting up and not appearing in performances anymore. So that wasn't an option. Melody Maker ran a front page headline on the 10th of January that the Isle of Wight Festival would be going on and this year it would be a 5-day event. So now the Falk brothers just needed a venue and a lineup. Sites at Goshen's at the top of Staplers, that was rejected by the local authority as being too close to a residential area. Surprisingly, Lynn, the present local authority agreed in 2002 to the present site on Fairley Road. How things do change. We're a lot more enlightened than we used to be then. A site at Ashy was considered briefly, and also the disused airport site at Ryde, where Tesco stands. But they're all of a series of dead ends. And it wasn't until July, with just weeks to go, bearing in mind the acts had been booked, that the site at East Afton Farm was secured for the festival. Meanwhile, Joan Baez had been signed up to top of the bill. She was considered at the time to be one of the top acts in the world. And hindsight being a wonderful thing, the Beach Boys were offered to the management, but the management turned them down as being too pop. Wow. There you go. But anyway, the Afton site was far from ideal, as the north side was overlooked by Afton Downs, which provided free entertainment for spectators. So the solution that was decided was, no problem, we'll fence off the top of the down. So on the 1st of August, the festival team took over the site, and the construction of 2 miles of fences commenced. In the event, however, it proved impossible to complete. As quickly as it was constructed in 8-foot-high corrugated iron, it was torn down overnight. The site was completed without the upper fencing in 3 weeks. Now, with a full bill of artists, despite problems with certain factions, the festival could go ahead for the biggest audience ever attending a pop festival. Okay, so what do they have? Wednesday night, it opened with Judas Jump. Then they had Rosie Sorrells, Kathy Smith, Chris Christopherson, and they finished with Mighty Baby. On Thursday, they had Supertramp, who were a new band at the time and relatively unknown, Gilberto Gil and Ciento Veloso, Brazilian musicians, Black Widow, The Groundhogs, a highly successful blues band, and Terry Reid, now understated British singer. Friday, the first ticket performance, the first two nights were free, so Fairfield Parlour, Hawkwind, Arrival, Lighthouse, Taste, Tony Joe White, Chicago, another big band, Family, huge, Procol Harum, and Voices of East Harlem, and also a band called Cactus, which are now defunct. And they were the ex Vanilla Fudge rhythm section in kind of like a Led Zeppelin type band.
Wow.
Yeah. And it goes on Saturday, John Sebastian from the Loving Spoonful, Sean Phillips, Lighthouse, Joni Mitchell, Tiny Tim. Now, I remember hearing him sing Tiptoe Through the Tulips. I think he just did the one number and went off, if I remember rightly. They had Miles Davis with some jazz. They had 10 Years After, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. That was a super group mixing classical with rock. The Doors, they came on at midnight, but they only did 7 numbers. Then The Who came on from 1 till dawn. They did, believe it or not, typical of The Who, this is why things overrun. They did the entire Tommy opera plus 13 other numbers. Melanie came on and she was introduced by Keith Moon, because who on earth can follow The Who? And they wrapped it up with Sly and the Family Stone at 6:30 in the morning. Okay, sadly, Sly Stone died last week.
Yeah? Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. Okay, that brings us to Sunday, 31st. Good News, an acoustic duo from America, opened the day. Then Chris Christopherson again, Ralph McTell, the folk singer, Heaven, Free. Now, that performance is on videos all over the place. Donovan, Pentangle, The Moody Blues, Jethro Tull, and that was their first appearance in England for nearly a year. Then Jimi Hendrix, and he performed 18 numbers.
Wow.
And Joan Baez, followed by Leonard Cohen and Richie Havens. He opened the festival at Woodstock and closed the festival at Afton. Now, the really sad thing is, of that festival, for both Jimi Hendrix and The Doors, that was their last major public performances ever. Jimi Hendrix died and Jim Morrison died a few months afterwards. So, how many hippies attended the Afton Festival?
Well, it was yourself.
It's difficult to determine because really they're only going on ferry numbers because so many people didn't, including me, didn't buy an admission ticket, sat on the hill and watched it for free. So how many? Well, the numbers range from 500,000 to 600,000 that were Afton for that event.
Good grief. That's okay. A huge number.
It really, really was. Okay, so, you know, this is all down to the Fulk brothers, who at the time were teenagers, and they showed the world how to hold pop festivals, and that is still seen and recognised as the biggest and the best pop festival there has ever, ever been. So, I mean, the fact that that was on the island, how good is that? Eh?
Absolutely. And, you know, you must have some fabulous memories from being there, Alan.
Oh, yeah, really, really do. Yeah, it was like a small city. But the thing that I tell people that was different to any pop festival now, those 600,000 people were kids. They were teenagers. I doubt there was more than 10% of the people there were over the age of 30. Whereas now, because I'm the age that I am, I go as equivalent of a grandparent, people's parents go. There's no way in those festivals would your parents go, let alone your grandparents.
No.
So that was 600,000 kids from all over the world that came together just for the music.
Wow, so how fabulous is that?
It really was an event. It really was. And that was 55 years ago, but something the island should be well proud of.